This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Very Jerry Christmas will light up the night. It's a KPFT benefit, a dancer's delight. Not at all like the regular thing. If you come know the words, just join in and sing. And until I see you on 1222, you better take care. You better be good. So from KPFT Houston and all the rest of us too, this is our postcard. We'll play it for you.
We wish you a Jerry Christmas. We wish you a Jerry Christmas. We wish you a Jerry Christmas and a happy Bob Weir.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
It certainly is, and it's a cooler evening than we've had in a while.
Did you bring that back from Canada?
Well, I hadn't been to Canada to bring it back from.
Back when you went to your mom's birthday.
Oh, that was back in August.
Oh, well, I guess it's not. We can't blame you.
No, but I did send a spiteful email to my sister. I said, do you guys have snow?
Well, you're listening to Queer Voices, and I'm Deborah Bell.
I'm Brian Erickson.
I'm Audrey Lyon.
I'm Brian Levinka.
And I'm Glenn Holt. And on tonight's program, Women's Poetry Jam with Donna Garrett, Shirley Bassey, and Aja. We'll be making the holidays happy and gay. And we'll be talking with Sally Huffer from MCC about new queer ways to deal with the holidays. And how often does a member of the Queer Voices staff get interviewed on This Way Out? Well, it happens tonight. The producer of KFAI in Minneapolis talks with our own J.D. Doyle on This Way Out coming up in the next hour. And queer holiday gift ideas and parties. What do you want in your stocking? We'll ask Nancy Ford. And the syndicated news magazine This Way Out, featuring news wrap. All this and more tonight on Queer Voices. But first, news wrap.
I'm Sherry Lunn.
And I'm Rick Watts.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending December 15, 2007. The Court of First Instance in Kassar El Kabir, a small Moroccan city south of Tangiers, convicted six men this week of violating Article 489 of the country's penal code, which criminalizes lewd or unnatural acts with an individual of the same sex, an offense punishable by between 6 months and 3 years in prison. The men all pleaded innocent to the charges. They've been in jail since their late November arrests after a video circulated online, including on YouTube, showed the defendants participating in what the local press called a gay marriage party. There was no sexual activity on the video. According to their lawyers, the prosecution failed to present any evidence that the men had actually engaged in the illegal conduct. The court nevertheless sentenced the defendants, who range in age from 20 to 61 years old, to from 4 to 10 months in prison. Sarah Leah Whitson, Middle East and North Africa director at Human Rights Watch, charged that these men are behind bars for private acts between consenting adults that no government has any business criminalizing in the first place, and called for their immediate release. Morocco has ratified several international treaties that define arrests based on consensual adult homosexual conduct as human rights violations. The judge has refused to release the men pending their appeals.
The European Union could become the first multinational body to have a treaty with explicit language prohibiting discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. Representatives from 25 of the 27 EU member states signed the Charter of Fundamental Rights at a ceremony this week in Strasbourg. Britain and Poland, for different reasons, had demanded a public referendum on the accord and refused to sign on. The Charter codifies all of the individual EU laws and regulations covering human rights into a single document. But it will only take effect after the parliaments of all 27 member nations ratify a concord called the Lisbon Treaty that reforms the way the EU operates. The ratification process for that treaty, to which the Charter is attached, is expected to take until the end of 2008. Patricia Prindeville, executive director of the European branch of ILGA, the International Lesbian and Gay Association, urged member states to ratify that treaty, but about the charter worried that the lack of unanimity among the EU member states weakens the strength and authority of this significant document.
Meanwhile, the Spanish government has for the first time recognized a gay couple who registered their civil partnership in Britain. Spain legalized same-gender marriage in 2005 and recognizes similar marriages in other countries where they're legal, the Netherlands, Belgium, Canada, and South Africa. But Spain had not previously treated UK civil partnerships as equivalent to marriage. Paul and Martin Ward registered their civil partnership in Britain on Valentine's Day this year. Paul was working in Spain and Martin was planning to move there, but they told reporters that discovering that their civil partnership wouldn't be recognized left us in a situation of now you're united, now you're not, with no legal rights. With help from British government officials and queer advocacy groups, the couple launched a campaign to publicize their plight. The Foreign Office in London and the Spanish Ministry of Justice began negotiations, and the Spanish government this week agreed to recognize UK civil partnerships. Paul and Martin say they're the first British same-gender couple living in Spain to have their civil partnership acknowledged in law and in the observation section of their passports.
And a study released to coincide with the second anniversary last week of civil partnerships in the UK found significant indications that they're not equivalent to marriage. The financial public service organization Citizens Advice concluded that the term civil partnership has created a second-class status that also outs same-gender couples because of the generic nature of corporate and bank forms. It also found that because of the difference in terms, even though both marriage and civil partnerships are supposed to have the same legal status, many people still don't know how to refer to their circumstance in social situations. Some individuals still find it difficult to discuss their same-sex relationship with friends and family, the study reported, so confusion in communication compounds what is already, for some, quite a delicate situation. Citizens Advice called for all banks and businesses to have a single category of married civil partner, leaving the sexual orientation of the respondents unspecified.
That report echoes complaints by lesbi-gay couples in the U.S. who say civil unions in the three states where they're legal are not the same as marriage, particularly in partner health care coverage, joint property ownership, and co-parenting issues. Same-gender marriage is legal only in the state of Massachusetts. Separate but supposedly equal civil unions are available in Vermont, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Same-gender couples will be able to contract civil unions in New Hampshire beginning in 2008. Special ceremonies on the State House steps are, in fact, scheduled for 1 minute after midnight on January 1st. But a blue ribbon panel created by the Vermont legislature has repeatedly been told about inequities in the treatment of civilly united couples. And a similar committee has heard comparable horror stories in New Jersey from same-gender couples, all of whom insist that only marriage equality will resolve the problems they've encountered in having their civil unions universally recognized. Both state legislatures are expected to consider the issue next year.
Elsewhere, a Rhode Island woman who legally married her lesbian partner in Massachusetts 3 years ago has filed for divorce in Rhode Island Superior Court, following a ruling last week by her state's Supreme Court that the couple's divorce can't be considered in family court. In that ruling, the state's top judges decided that the creation of Rhode Island's family court in 1961 never included the power to dissolve same-gender unions. Louise Polner, an attorney for one of the women, said he then decided to file for divorce on her behalf in Superior Court because it has broader powers than family court. Massachusetts restricts same-gender marriages to residents of other states where the marriage would be legally recognized. The Rhode Island women's marriage was recognized in Massachusetts because no law specifically bans same-gender marriages in their home state, although Rhode Island has not acted to recognize such marriages either. Polner told reporters that, "I cannot fathom that there is not a forum in the state of Rhode Island for a legally married couple to dissolve their marriage." Attorneys for the other woman in the marriage are supporting the Superior Court divorce filing. Unless the case is won there, at least one of the women may be forced to establish residency in Massachusetts and then seek a divorce from that state's courts.
Oral arguments in the California Supreme Court marriage equality lawsuit are not on the January docket, as had widely been expected. Chief Justice Ronald George said this week that more friend of the court briefs have been filed for that case than any other in recent memory. He said the court has received 45 such briefs from 145 different organizations supporting all sides of the issue, and that it's a vast amount of literature to read. Justices must review all written material before they hear oral arguments. The court will concurrently be considering six related lawsuits that challenge the constitutionality of California's one-man, one-woman marriage laws. George said that all the required written legal arguments were filed by the November 15th deadline and that the case would be heard sometime next year, but he declined to predict precisely when. The court is required to rule within 90 days after hearing oral arguments.
But finally, it appears that yet another constitutional amendment to ban same-gender marriage will be on the ballot, this time in Florida. The Secretary of State said this week that the group supporting the ban, called Florida for Marriage, collected more than 1,000 signatures more than required to qualify the measure for the 2008 ballot. State law already prohibits same-gender marriage, but proponents say a constitutional amendment will prevent judges from overturning that law. An investigation by the St. Petersburg Times into funding for a similar measure that failed to garner enough signatures in 2006 found that more than 75% of the money the group raised for that effort came from a single donor, the Florida Republican Party. Putting marriage on the ballot has been a much-used GOP strategy to drive social conservatives to the polls. The amendment reads, "Inasmuch as marriage is the legal union of only one man and one woman, no other legal union that is treated as marriage or the substantial equivalent thereof shall be valid or recognized." LGBT rights groups say that the broad language of the measure could strip away all rights provided by domestic partnerships that are offered in some Floridian locales. A similarly broad measure was narrowly defeated in Arizona in November 2006, with strong support from that state's senior citizens. Organizations representing Florida's large seniors population are expected to be strong allies in the fight against the amendment in their state. Because remarriage can negatively impact pensions, Social Security survivor benefits, and other financial considerations, senior couples often prefer domestic partnerships to legalize their later-in-life relationships. And unlike simple majorities in most other states, a constitutional amendment in Florida must be approved by 60% of the voters.
That's News Wrap for the week ending December 15th, 2007. Written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Sherry Lund.
This is Queer Voices.
To my friends, with all my love. Too tall, too dark, too feminine, too butch. Check the accent. They are not from here. She wears men's clothes, has a ring in her nose. They wear makeup and they don't like them because they do. They are bisexual. They are straight. There are those that live to hate. He is gay. She is a lesbian. They are Asian. They are Mexican. They are Indian. She is a woman. He is a man. She is a man. He is a woman. Check the accent. They are not from here. Nappy head, beautiful dreads. Curly-headed or not. Muscular frame or no muscles to claim.
Identity unknown, lost without a home. Pierced ear, pierced eyebrow, pierced where you cannot see. Tattooed and spiked, unliked and liked. Dressed in black, the believers, the non-believers, the forgivers and non-forgivers. The child bearers and child's nurturers and the child.
And that is the melodious voice of Donna Garrett, set to music. And that's a new venue for you, working with your poetry and having that kind of jazz there.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And Donna has been a guest with us many times on this program because she writes poetry that really speaks to us as women, as lesbians, as queers. The butch femme dichotomy, the being who you are, coming up out of oppression, the
human.
being human, just about being human, just
yes.
folks. And she often leads a women's poetry session at the women's group that meets on Sunday mornings at the Unitarian Church, and she shares some of her work, and then she opens it up and lets other women share things that they've written. And marvelous, talented group there, most of them not professional poets, but yeah, wonderful. Sometimes just funny. People say, oh, I don't want to go to that. Oh, poetry, yuck. And I say, but this is different.
That's
you
what
have
people
to,
tell me.
You have to understand, this is different. And, of course, Donna does write some really erotic stuff that just gets us all flustered on a Sunday morning. And recently, she, along with her partner Shirley and Aja, who is another young woman, she is the young woman of the group, she had some really wonderful work that they shared. And so I invited them to come on Queer Voices and share some of that work, particularly a piece that Shirley wrote kind of about her attraction and interest in Donna. And you do have to understand, Donna is a large woman, a mannish woman, a handsome woman. And even with her voice, sometimes is mistaken as being a man. And that's okay. She's not going to get upset about that.
No.
And Shirley is like a really beautiful woman. And a feminine woman. And so they have this little thing going. You can see the chemistry with your own eyes. Who wants to start? Do you want to start? Or you want Shirley to start? Oh, you want Aja to start.
That's right. Let the young lady start. I was impressed with her work. Let her get going.
Wow.
Well, I thought you might talk a little bit about, because you're fairly new to writing poetry and expressing yourself this way.
Actually, I've been writing poetry for a while, but that Sunday was the first day that I decided to share it with a large group of people. I've had a few friends read it, and the poems I shared, they're the seven sins. I based my emotions off of each one of the seven deadly sins, and I had met someone, and it didn't work out the way I thought it would. It was one of those complicated things, and I basically was really hurt. And I, for some reason, these thoughts, these phrases, just these jumble of words were just running through my head, and I wrote it down and tried to make sense of it. And through a connection, this person ended up reading them and thought they were great. And we're good friends now. Hello, Chris. I know you're listening. And when I told that person about the poetry thing at the women's group, they thought I should share it. And I did, and people had very nice things to say about it. And then you asked me to come on, and
yeah.
That's how I'm here.
It was well received.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. So any of you women out there that might have a poetic bent, if you want to share it with other women, that's a place you can... let your voice be heard. And so Donna, I just kind of think maybe you should start a little bit with one of your poems that has a sense of your sexuality in it. You got, did you bring one of those by any chance?
Deborah, I am. You're a mess. You're a mess. I can always depend on you to. Here's one, because I think that perhaps I know a lot of beautiful women that are troubled, you know. So this poem that I'm going to read for you is called "Beautiful Lady," and it's about women who, because they are beautiful, are not thought of as smart or as someone that's having something to bring to the table. I was working with a young man over in Taiwan. His name was Joaquin, and he was working on the Beijing Opera soundtrack. And the story to the musical that he was doing was about a beautiful woman who, being in that time, she was in a submissive state, and she was taken advantage of by other men because women were not allowed to say no or to speak out. So this poem grew from that story. She is undressed by eyes. She is so desired. She does not have to speak one word. Such beauty should be seen but never heard. Tears pave a path down her face. With each breath she takes, happiness escapes. She exists in an orb, beautifully contained. Look into her eyes and see her pain. No woman wants to be objectified. Pretty lips, pretty hips, look at those thighs. Hated by other women, but by men adored. She has an opinion, but her opinion is ignored. Her beauty is all anyone can see, and all this attention to her beauty keeps her unhappy. She is just a beautiful lady.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
Diana Jones is a singer, has a song called "Don't Want to Be a Pretty Girl," which has that same kind of theme to it. That you know, you just see me, you see that I'm pretty, you know, fine. Yeah. I'm not gonna, but
they can't get past the face.
Yeah.
You know, and women are frustrated because they have a lot more to offer than beauty. You know, yeah. So a lot of women just have a problem in that arena.
And many women are beautiful in different ways, and it's not always that concept that we're constantly being sold in the vast consumer market that is so rabid right now. So, well, that gives you a little bit taste of Miss Donna Garrett, and so we're going to ask Shirley to, really, because this just blew me away, especially knowing about her relationship with Donna. So,
okay, I'll start in. Speaking of getting past, I call it getting past the drag. Sometimes I think people get caught up in a person's appearance, and they make a judgment about that person based on that. And I have tried in my life to look past that and get to the humanity of a person. And when I met Donna, Donna exudes quite a bit of masculine energy. And at first I was a little taken aback, and I thought, now, well, you know, this is a little different. And I've always been the kind of person that kind of was attracted to the misfits in the group. And so the part of me that is like that, was very attracted to her because she was so different. And I was thinking about that one day when we were talking about, you know, what is it that attracted you to me? So I thought about it, and I thought, maybe I'll write about this, and maybe some things will come to me. So I wrote this down, and I'm not really a poet, but I just tend to read a lot, and I write quite well, surprisingly. So this is what came out. And I call it appeal. I couldn't believe my eyes. Tall and strong like a tree with the nature of a lamb. Dark skin like mahogany, handsome as any man. Full moist lips, long fluffy lashes, felt like butterflies against my face. And thick dark brows, the kind I only wish I had. And that skin, brown, soft, and smooth, as sweet as sweet cream butter. Statuesque, those long, brown, ample arms later wrapped around me like a warm blanket. The velvety voice turning me into a song and transformed easily to a husky baritone at a moment's notice if a masculine vernacular was called for. She'd made a pretty boy. Curious, huh, this mystique. I seem attracted to that which is not as it appears to be. He, she, androgyny appeals to me. She male, girly man, butch, stud, dyke, punk, sissy, fag, butch, bottom, lipstick, les, twink, bear, Nelly boy, they're all my type. Yes, he, she, androgyny appeals to me. I guess ambiguity just sets me free. K.D. Lang, Tracy Chapman, Dennis Rodman, Prince, Liberace, Little Richard, David Bowie, Marlena Dietrich, Freddie Mercury, the beautiful ones. You see, I love them all. I stand in awe. He, she, androgyny just appeals to me. I guess ambiguity just sets me free. A calloused hand with a tender touch, coarse, kinky hair whispers soft as a hush. A masculine body houses a gentle wish. An African black speaks the king's English. Porcelain skin with a sister's soul. A smart young girl, wise as though she's old. All this dichotomy is awesome to me. Yes, he, she, androgyny appeals to me. I guess ambiguity just sets me free.
Man, I just love it. I love that.
Well, thank you, Deborah.
Yeah, and honey, you are a poet.
Oh, well,
so that
right.
is definitely
right.
poetry.
I'll take that. I'll take that in.
How perfect for queer voices. I mean, that says it, doesn't
yes.
it?
Absolutely.
And, okay, Aja. Which one? Do you want to talk about one of your seven deadly sins that you were inspired to write about from the trauma of a broken love, or do you have something else?
I'd like to share maybe one or two of those.
Okay.
I guess I'll start off with, this was a very strong one, greed. I guess sort of that person's greed, my greed for that person. I covet you, the scent of you, your gentle touch. The seconds tick away like minutes. Minutes are hours. Hours are days. Eternity, I now know the meaning. When we are apart, I crave your touch, your kiss, your eyes, your lips. But you are not mine. You belong to him, to her, the world. My light, my hope, my salvation. A tiny piece of you I share with the rest of the world. I want you all for my own, to have and to hold, to call all for my own. Let the world wait. Let it all fade away. Hold me for all eternity. Slip so far into me, and that's where you will stay. I've tasted you. Had the essence of you within me, and now I want it back.
Oh. We're just greedy for that.
Yeah. I was very greedy for this person.
Give me more. I want some more, Dad. Okay. And what about another one?
Sure. How about envy?
Envy, yeah.
And there's a story behind envy, actually.
There's always a story.
There's always a story. And it sort of tells a story. You can hear it when I speak it. But I told this person I was coming to meet them someplace. And I knew they'd started seeing this other woman. Which actually, a week after we went on a date, they started seeing this other woman. And I saw them kissing at this place, and I was like, whoa, you know, like, you knew I was coming. You know,
it's, that's just rude.
I shouldn't have had to see that, but, you know, I said nothing. But
that's just wrong.
It was wrong with it. Mm-hmm. And it's called envy. Before I opened the door, I saw it. The picture burned into my memory and scarred into my heart. Her lips on yours, yours pressing back. Your hands on her skin, you breathing her in. And I could no longer breathe. With every piece of her you took, A piece of me was destroyed. She was a poison. And as she entered you, she killed me. Does she taste better than me? Smell better? Feel better? She can't touch you like I can. Doesn't desire you like I do. The horrid memory, please undo. Touch me, feel me, kiss me, want me. There is nothing she did that I can't do better. Take me for a spin, a ride you will certainly treasure. Aren't I smarter, prettier? What does she have that I don't? What does she do that I won't? Did I say I didn't care? I didn't mean it. Please don't believe it. I take it back. But it seems as if you shut the door, and it's now up to me to turn the lock and throw away the key.
Throw away that key. Just throw it out. We don't want that key anymore.
I don't want that key.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. The snap, snap. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Power of words, power of expressing yourself, a good way. It's cathartic often to get your feelings down on paper. And then, especially Donna, with your very special voice. And she, Donna's my sister friend. We're two girls from Birmingham,
yes.
Alabama. So
wow. We got that in common.
Yeah, among other things.
Among other things.
Yeah. That took up all our time, and I hate to end it, but I thought that was a good sort of segment for us to have to share during the holidays. We do want to encourage women that write poetry, or it can be a short story, to come to the women's group at the Unitarian Church. It meets every Sunday at 10:45 a.m., 5200 Fannin at Southmore. And if you want to know more information about that, you can contact me by email, Deborah@queervoices.org. And so I just want to thank these wonderful poets for being with us here.
I got another cut.
One more cut from the CD.
Yes, from the CD.
And what is
it's called? Welcome.
Welcome. And
okay.
We'll finish with that. We'll
all
say
right.
Goodbye with welcome.
Okay.
Color me love. Integrate your lovely skin with mine. Come on into me and make yourself at home. Cover me with your affection. Overheat my mental state of being. Rest, rest inside of me. I readily extend myself because of my need, because of my love. Loneliness won't rest here if you stay. Keep smiling, it strengthens me and gives me hope. It elevates my heart, elates my spirit, and draws my body to you. Oh. attraction is this thing I am trying to verbalize. What two people feel when the moon and emotions line up. My heart wants to love you. My need does not lead the way. I want to honor you for what you bring to my life. Thanks for your understanding. Oh, I was lost in my quest for love. I never saw you enter from the blind side of my psyche to come and overwhelm me. Stay here with me and receive everything your love has requisitioned from my heart. Oh, loneliness is gone from me. And your love has filled its place.
And I'm Brian Erickson.
I'm Brian Levinka. And they tell me that Christmas is next week, but I am not in the Christmas spirit. I don't feel it. And people in our community sometimes get sad during this time. Tonight we have the wonderful Sally Huffer from the Montrose Counseling Center. And she's going to talk about things that you can do and events that you can attend that might raise your spirits this time of year. Sally?
Yeah, well, I mean, I come back here every year around this time because I think that it's something that a lot of people go through, particularly in our community, and that is just the blues that kind of set in during the holidays. And there's a whole bunch of reasons for that in our community. Certainly, you know, not just our community is affected by it, but a lot of people in our community are affected by just, you know, a little bah humbug. And for some people, you know, it's a real rough patch. And, you know, one of the things that can contribute to that is, well, number one, a lot of isolation in our community. A lot of people who may not have a partner, you know, that kind of thing. But also, even people who are in a relationship may be going through some tough times during the holiday. Maybe one person is out to their family and the other one isn't, and so one goes home for the holidays and the other isn't invited.
And they have to lie about where they're going and who they're seeing, and like, oh, Mom, no, I'm going to the store.
Right. Or if you both are invited, you know, sometimes your family might be okay with it as long as you don't tell grandma. And guess who's invited to your holiday
Grandma's
dinner?
Grandma's there, and she's like, who's your friend, Billy?
Exactly. So that can be awkward. That can be very difficult because, you know, I mean, we're talking about a lot of people have been disconnected from their families, and that's kind of the vision that we see during the holidays is this is what the family looks like, this is what the holidays look like. And in many cases, too, there's that spiritual component. And for a lot of people who have experienced religious abuse, there's that alienation, too. So, you know, not to mention grief when you've lost a loved one, or grief because you've lost a relationship, or maybe you lost your job this year or something like that. There's a lot of things that can contribute to that. But what I wanted to talk about is, what do you do to pull yourself out of that? How do you, you know, in many cases, it's listening to yourself and knowing, hey, this is a difficult time. I had a really hard time last year for the holidays. Or, because sometimes, you know, it is an annual thing for people to go. If you know this about yourself, certainly, and I need to say, you can call Montrose Counseling Center and talk to a therapist. Even if it's just a short period of time to get you through this rough patch, that's always a possibility. But I was thinking today that there's a number of things that you can do, too. Either just, you know, things that you start yourself, or places where you can go in the community. So you can create kind of your own family traditions, your own celebration, that kind of thing.
Like what?
I know I should give you a chance to speak.
Well, I eat. I eat like my comfort food, and I have my thing that I eat that makes me happy. Macaroni and cheese and mashed potatoes and chicken fried steak.
Big old chicken fried steak.
And that equals happiness no matter what.
I couldn't agree more. And see, those are the kinds of things. When you have lost some of your old traditions, you can create new ones. I mean, who says you have to have a turkey or a ham on Christmas Day? If what you want is macaroni and cheese from a box, go for it. You know, if what you want is, you know, something like chicken fried steak, fantastic. So create your own traditions. And sometimes it's not that expensive, too. I was, you know, thinking the other day that, you know, it could just be a warm cup of hot cocoa. Do you treat yourself to hot cocoa that often? Do you buy it on a regular basis?
I put vodka in my cocoa. Is that bad?
I'm kidding. Well, hey, I'm coming over to your place for Christmas.
And you're using that as a coping skill instead.
Vodka is the gay elixir. I'm sorry.
So, well, if it becomes too much of a problem, we have a program for that at the
Counseling
Center. And
that's, yes, available at the Montrose Counseling Center.
But yeah, so there's, I mean, one of the things that I was thinking about, too, was that there's a lot of candle lighting celebrations, you know, during the holidays. And it's kind of like a universal, you know, symbol of hope and, you know, the candle lighting the way. And so if you're by yourself, you know, or if you've lost somebody, think about finding a candle that represents that person to you. Or finding, you know, a candle where you can make your own wish each day. You know, come home from work, light your candle. Before you go to bed, make a wish. And, you know, wish that, you know, I hope I can sleep well tonight before you blow out the candle. It doesn't have to be anything, you know, that's really elaborate. So,
and all of my gay friends have their family, and then they have their family. And I think as gay and lesbians and, you know, GLBTs, we create our own
family of choice.
And, you know, I know so many people that just spend the holidays with that family.
Exactly.
And that's holidays. That's the fun time for them.
Well, and if you're feeling kind of blue, you might be waiting for other people to call you and say, hey, you know, I don't have much going on, and why isn't anybody calling me? There's all these parties.
You know, sometimes the best thing to do on that is to take the initiative yourself.
Exactly. We were talking with Glenn earlier.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And we were talking about...
Well, you know, I'm so busy during most of the year that I look forward to my downtime. That's time when I have time to cook a turkey. And I just cook it for me and the animals, and I enjoy it. Just by myself, in the quiet.
And I'm just like you.
And I watch some of the old TV programs that come on, you know, White Christmas or whatever that comes on. And I put up my Christmas tree and I enjoy the lights. But mostly I just enjoy the peace and solitude.
You know, we were talking about the paradox that if you're, you know, if you're surrounded by people and you still feel alone, you just want to be alone. You know, for some people being solitary is actually nurturing. For some people, it's just the worst thing they can possibly think of.
Yeah. To me, Christmas music is the thing. I mean, I just jam Sleigh Ride or, you know, any Christmas music, and I just go, and that's Christmas to me and happy music. So.
Well, and on that kind of subject, I was thinking, you know, there's a lot of pressure over the holidays, too, because there's, you know, financial issues that we go through and buying gifts for everyone. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking, you know, if you're struggling this time, you don't need the added pressure of finding unique gifts for everyone. I mean, and especially if you're going through a hard time, go through, you know, maybe make a list. What are my expectations? What are the responsibilities? Decide what you have to do, what you don't have to do. And like, for example, if you're going through a hard time and you don't want to fight the battle of the stores and you don't have a lot of money, decide you're going to get the same thing for everybody, whether that's an ornament this year. It could be a DVD.
A candle.
You could get a candle for everyone. You could get them some food. You could, you know, take them some eggnog. Or you could, you know, get a favorite CD. And you can go to JD's website, you know, Queer Music Heritage. I know you guys are going to talk about that later and,
good segue.
You know, This Way Out. But, you know.
I would rather walk on broken glass than go to the Galleria this time of year. I mean, it's a nightmare. It's just, the world's just hellacious.
Exactly. Well, and JD has all of the music that is played during this show on his website. And so, since there's going to be holiday music, go and look and see what you like and see where it's available. So, you know, shop with your mouse in your hand.
This is Deborah, and let me just inject here that tomorrow night is Ho 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 Down to Hollywood, the Gay Men's Chorus, the Bayou City Performing Arts at Jones Hall, 7:30. You can get tickets at the box office, and they have a whole bunch of CDs, including their Christmas CD and a brand new CD by the Women's Chorus. And any of those would be, you know, not to say, oh, you know, we're non-commercial, we're not plugging that, but certainly it's an easy gift, but it's also one that has significant meaning in the community, and so that would be a really nice gift.
And attend the concert. That is my favorite concert that they do. It's always crazy, and they cut up and they play kind of the offbeat music, and I saw they're playing Hard Candy Christmas, and I love
that. Yeah. And,
oh,
and,
golly.
And that's another thing, that instead of giving a gift that's something wrapped up in a box, giving a gift of, you know, going to see the Christmas Carol at the Alley. Or
right, and I brought a whole bunch of lists like that because, I mean, like, for example, many people in the community know, and so I'm going to, you know, say that I lost my mom this year, and this is going to be kind of hard for me this year.
I lost my mom last year, and it was very hard.
And so it's really just my kid brother and me here in Houston. I have family members in other places, but it's the two of us. And so we're planning to go see the Bayou City Performing Arts concert tomorrow night. And even though we can't afford it right now, they were looking for volunteers for the event. And so I contacted them and said, look, you know, we would really like to be able to help out. And that's another thing you can do during the holidays is, you know, give your talent to someone else.
Volunteer.
If you can sing, sing for people at a nursing home. If you can sing, go see if you can make arrangements at one of the many nonprofits, whether it's, you know, the hospice for, you know, Bering
Omega.
Yeah, for Omega House. And
there's lots of food drives that lead up to the holiday, but after the holiday, then the pantries start getting bare again.
Right.
So, you know, thinking in terms of what can I give that's really from the heart. I'm all for giving memberships to organizations.
Exactly.
Save those baby whales, the chimpanzees.
Yeah, that's probably one of the most meaningful things I've ever gotten.
Certainly SNAP, the Humane Society, SPCA, the work that they do is just, if you're an animal lover, you know, don't go get somebody a kitten for Christmas. Don't go get them a dog. That's a personal choice that people need to make, and there's some real hazards with giving a live animal as a gift. But certainly you could give a membership in their name and support that organization,
right.
Donate to that organization. Go spend some time walking the animals. They need exercise. They love to have people come and do hands-on work at the animal shelters.
Exactly. Well, and, you know, immediately following my mom's passing, a lot of people came into my life and said, hey, let me know if there's anything I can do. You know, at the time, I couldn't think of anything, but, you know, there's things that I just dread, and I know a lot of people dread wrapping presents I happen to love it in my solitude. But other people, you know, if you're dreading that portion of the holidays, you know what? Call upon one of those people that said, let me know how I can help, because they really want to help. They just don't know how to do it. So just say, hey, you know what? I'm really dreading wrapping presents this year. Would you mind coming over? I'll order a pizza, or I'll make some chili, and, you know, Brian will bring the vodka.
Vodka and chili.
And, but, you know, surround yourself by your family of choice. Surround yourself by the people who can nurture you through the holiday. That's what.
And a little play on words here, in the true spirit of the Montrose Counseling Center, is because there are so many people that do have problems with drugs and alcohol, there are so many things that you can do. Have a cookie making party.
Oh,
or
absolutely.
Or a cookie exchange. And, you know, see who can come up with the queerest cookie.
Well, no, just think about how much, and take them over to Mary's on Christmas Day.
Just think about, you know, how much trouble you can get into with cookie dough.
Oh.
No rum balls.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all of the innuendos here. Oh, my gosh.
I know. And decorating a tree together is great fun. When I was a child, our tree went up Christmas Eve.
Really?
Yeah. And so it's really bizarre to me now. You know, it's the day after Halloween.
Yeah, but the stores and Christmas, everything's up after Halloween.
No, we decorated our tree Christmas Eve.
Well, and that also might be a chore that some people, you know, they feel like, well, we've done this before. I don't have the energy to do it. Bring your friends in to help you with something like that. Or, you know, bring them, even if you don't decorate for the holidays, tell them, come over, let's rearrange my furniture. I mean, know that.
Giving a Christmas ornament that's somehow personalized is a really nice little gift. And driving around and looking at the lights.
I love that.
I live near the area that's Lights in the Heights.
Uh-huh.
Oh, gosh, there's a yard on 7th and a half Street,
yes,
that's pink flamingos. You've got to see this. But, what, yeah.
Those people go all out. Right?
Yeah, yeah. So that's you can make a thermos of cocoa and drive around, have a lovely evening. And you don't have to go real far, because we, you know, have to conserve on gas and all that, but that can be great fun.
Well, and then one of the other things that I, you know, because I've been reading a lot this year, that if you are, if there are traditions that you are not able to enjoy this year, maybe you've moved away from your friends and family, maybe, you know, there are things that you no longer do, but you think about them.
No making snow angels in Houston.
Those are grass angels. In your shorts.
One of the things that I saw that I thought was really practical was that you can write a list of your holiday traditions or something that you remember. Like, for example, I remember right after my parents split up, my mom spent every last penny she had to take us all on vacation to go visit our grandparents in Florida. And it was a road trip. We all piled into the station wagon. We drove all the way to Florida. And, you know, usually in the past when we would open our presents on Christmas Day, my dad would separate, this is Sally's pile, this is Jay's pile, this is Bradley's pile, this is Jenny's, and you'd have to open it one by one by one, going around in a circle. And it was, when you're a child, that is so difficult. I cannot be enthusiastic.
Oh, come on, Sally, it's hard now, too, I'm sure.
I just want to tear into all of them.
Who
so this, yeah, this first year after my parents split up, we drove down to Florida from Illinois. So we went from the cold to the very warm and saw my grandparents. And I remember that year, Mom said, okay, you guys, have at it. Just dive right into those presents. And we were tearing the paper and the ribbons and, you know, not paying attention to what each other got. And it was magical. And that was something that I remember with my mom. My mom made that happen. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to write that down, and I'm going to roll it up in a scroll. I'm going to put it in a tiny little box, and I'm going to wrap that little box, and that's going to be part of my Christmas decorations. Oh. And so that memory's going to be with me. It's not going to go away.
That's good.
You know, I don't have to forget about it.
Don't forget. Remember, you know. Mm-hmm.
You know, so there are things like you can do that are practical like that, that are inexpensive, easy to do, where you're still honoring tradition, or you're still honoring, you know, something that you remember.
Those are great ideas.
So, then, you know, I did put together a list of other things that are going on in the community.
There's so many things in Houston. I mean, we live in this wonderful city with all these cultural events and all these community events. Sally was showing me the list, and it's amazing all the things that there are to do this time of year.
Well, we have a little bit of time. Let's talk about that.
Well, Brian, with an I, Brian, mentioned, you know, so what can you do? The world isn't going to come to you for the holidays. You need to know what's going on, and you go to the world and find out. There's a whole bunch of things that the Imperial Court of Houston is doing on, well, we've talked about tomorrow, first of all, that the Bayou City Performing Arts is tomorrow night. On December 21st at EJ's, they're doing, the holidays are almost over, 'tis the season for pink elephants. So that's over at EJ's on December 21st. On Saturday, the 22nd, Naughty or Nice, which list will you be on? That's over at Tony's Corner Pocket.
I have on my Betty Boop sweatshirt that she's surrounded by presents, and it says, Naughty girls get more.
Exactly. It's a scandalous sweatshirt.
So, I mean, these are just a couple, you know, some events where you know if you go, you're going to be surrounded with people.
And if you go to the bars, I mean, a lot of gay people like to hang out with people, you know, people in the same situation. And Christmas Eve and Christmas night, those bars are packed. Everyone is just getting away from their family, you know, just having the social aspect.
And you don't have to drink. So then on December 23rd, the Sunday before Christmas, Mary's has a breakfast, scrambled eggs, bacon, sausage, and toast. That's also a great idea. Yeah, and that's what I said, you know.
A real different kind of
bacon. Bake some cookies and take them to this, you know, especially if you have that talent. Or, you know, call me if you have that talent. But let's see. Then they have Goodbye 2007 and Hello 2008, A Year in Review. That's on New Year's Eve at Tony's Corner Pocket. The folks over at J.P. Morgan Chase, they have a holiday choir of the employees there, and every weekday until the 24th, including the 24th, at noon in their lobby on Main Street, they will have a performance of holiday songs. So if on your lunch hour and you work downtown, you know, you could just head over there and get filled with the spirit. So then my good friend Tim Brookover reminded me that over at the Museum of Fine Arts, they have docent-led tours. So you don't have to be alone. Go to the Museum of Fine Arts and see if you can have a docent lead you through the museum. My brother is a docent at the museum, and so I know how this works. They will, you know, you can tell them what you're interested in, and they will take you to the different pieces of artwork. My brother used to do it with school children, and he used to talk about how sometimes math is incorporated into the arts,
I want to go see Alvin and the Chipmunks.
There you go. You can go see a movie. get your friends to go with you to see a movie. And then Queer Voices, you all have something going on December 30th.
Well, I was just going to say, on Saturday, which is the winter solstice, which, since I'm not a traditional Christian, and there's...
pagan.
No, we're not dancing naked under the moon and howling. Some people might want to do that, and that's perfectly okay.
That's the after party.
But we are going to have, you know, a nice warm celebration, lighting candles and gathering, and that's something that my friend and I are doing for other people so that they can enjoy some time. And it's a little bit different. It's not the... It's very traditional, but it's not traditional in how we're all brought up with the holidays.
Right.
And then a rockin' New Year's Eve right here at KPFT 90.1 FM, 419 Lovett Boulevard, starting at 7:30 on the 31st. We're going to invite listeners, KPFT staff, any guests that we've ever had, bring some little snacky finger foods type things. We'll have some non-alcoholic beverages, and we're just going to have an early evening and have some fun. Lily Roddy's going to come and do the forecast for 2008. And on This Way Out, we are having next week, it will be the audio file, all the songs that JD and the folks that he does audio file with, their review of 2007. And then the next Monday is Stephen Pride on film, of all the films with a queer bent, TV and film for 2007. So those are some special things coming up, and
wow,
certainly listening to KPFT is something you can do.
Sure. I've got three others. If we can get them in before we have to go to break. But the Gay Men's Pause special social, it meets on Thursday, December 20th. That's at the In-N-Out Bar at 7 p.m. And that's for gay men who are HIV positive. They have a social going on. For the first time, there's going to be a New Year's Eve gala for lesbians and their friends, and that's going to be held at Pasha downtown.
It's a very nice swanky bar, by the way.
Right, and then also the community center this year is doing something in honor of Brenda Thomas. Apparently, every year on New Year's Day, she would have people come over. She'd do an open house, and so this year, on January 1st, from 2 until 8, at the community center, they're going to have the first annual or the inaugural Brenda Thomas Memorial New Year's Day social. And so they're inviting the community to come in and rest and relax from the night before and, you know, just have a sense of community.
Sally, you going to put that up on the website, or is there a website that has that kind of stuff?
Well, that information is available at the community center website. It's Houston GLBT. Community Center.
Yeah, just Google Houston Community Center, GLBT.
Yeah, I put HGLBTCC.org.
Yeah, and just to get it in there, Montrose Counseling Center, you said you have a coming out support group that's going to be starting up.
Yeah, we'll come and talk about that another time, but in January we have a coming out support group.
And how do people get in touch with the Counseling Center?
713-529-0037. Or through our website, www.montrosecounselingcenter.org.
And real important, because in case people really do have a hard time, the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard number.
The Gay and Lesbian Switchboard for People in Crisis, 713-529-3211. There's always somebody there that can listen.
We would like to thank Sally Huffer of the Montrose Counseling Center for our wonderful segment on how to deal with the holidays. And Brian with an I and Brian with a Y say thank you.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Belinsky and the entire Queer Voices crew.
Never left home, who's never struck out to find a dream and a life of their own. Placing the clouds, the foundation of stone. Many precede and many will follow. A young girl's dream no longer hollow. It takes the shape of a place out west. But what it holds, she has a yes, she needs wide open spaces, room to make her big mistakes, she needs new faces, she knows the high stakes. She traveled this road as a child, wide-eyed and grinning, she never tired. But now she won't be coming back with the rest. If these are life's lessons, she'll take this test. And she needs wide open spaces, room to make her big mistakes. She needs new. She left something out. friends and her family, her dog in this house. She turned around to find her old room bare. Looks at the U-Haul, it has to fit in there. And as her folks drive away, her dad yells, check the oil. Mom stares out the window, she says, I'm leaving my girl. She said, it did not seem like that long ago. When she stood there and watched her unfold, go through, she needed wide open spaces. Room to make her big mistake. She needs new faces. She knows the high stakes. She knows, she knows, she knows. She knows the high stakes. She knows the high stakes.
That was Susan Gibson with a track called Wide Open Spaces from an album of stuff that J.D. put together of performers at this year's Houston's Women's Festival, which was back in October. This is Queer Voices.
And speaking of wide open spaces, I mean, what? This is Deborah
Ouch.
Bell, along with
Ouch.
Brian Levinko,
Brian Erickson,
and we still have Sally Huffer with us, and we're welcoming the ever-vescent, ever-lovely, ever-so-talented Nancy Ford.
How the hell are you?
I'm lovely, and yourself?
Happy damn holidays. When is this over?
Now, I recall she's the lovable lesbian.
Oh yeah,
activist.
Yeah, that's right. That's what Houston Press called me, the lovable lesbian activist of Houston. Of course, nobody at the Houston Press knows me. What is wrong with these headphones that you gave me, Deborah?
I
they
don't
are sliding
know.
Right off my head like I'm.
I don't know. Tilt
that
them
guy
over.
On scrubs.
You know, I don't know. You never know what you're going to get at KPFT.
They're so jaunty.
Okay. So we thought that it would be fun in continuing with the holiday spirit and especially things to do if you're queer and it's the holidays. Who better to talk to about that than Nancy Ford?
Who's got a queerer voice than Nancy Ford, for God's sake?
That's right.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me again. It's always happy to be here on Queer Voices. And yes, I've been getting into the holiday spirit and a big tradition around my house. Actually, I have two or three or four, but a couple that I will share with you are my Nancy's Nuts.
She actually brought this lovely little jar that says Nancy's Nuts. It has a green bow.
Mm-hmm.
And I make them delicious.
Thank you
yes,
very much.
We all
Fabulous.
Did a taste test, and the focus group has come in.
Yeah, well, see, in the spirit of the Saturday Night Live sketch, the Sweaty Balls. these are Nancy's Nuts, and I'm thrilled that you could all taste them. I mean, this is like, you know, public radio almost. Yeah, and I do them every year. They're just basic Texas pecans washed in. Do you want the recipe?
Yes. Everyone get your pencils ready so you can jot down the recipe.
Here's what you do. You preheat the oven to 250 degrees, just kind of a low.
She's so domestic.
I'm very domestic.
Who
would've known? My God. Are you kidding? 250 degrees, then you take your Texas pecans and you put them in a colander. This thing is keeps sliding off
here,
my head.
Here.
I can't.
I'll trade phones.
Oh, thank you so much.
All
this
right.
Is great.
Is that better?
Okay, much better, much better. See, they're weird.
Yeah.
So anyway, you take your Texas pecans, you wash them in egg whites, not the yolks. Save the yolks for your dog or something, you know, whatever. But not the yolks, just the whites. Wash them in the egg whites, and then you coat them in a mixture of cinnamon and sugar. You like a lot of cinnamon? put a lot of cinnamon in. You just prefer the sugar? Stick just with the sugar. It's okay. It's up to you, however you want to make them. Sally?
Confectioner's sugar or brown sugar, or are we talking regular granulated sugar?
Oh, we're these fine details.
Regular granulated white sugar.
No, actually, it has to be kosher sugar.
A kosher sugar.
Do you whip the egg whites first, or just...
Here's what I do. I take the box of egg whites, the already separated, because who's got time for that?
No,
simplicity.
I'm 53 years
Rachel
old.
Rachel Ray has nothing on Nancy Four.
I'm 53 years old. I don't give that much thought to my eggs anymore. Anyway, so then you spread them out on a pan. Roast them for an hour or so.
I bet the place smells wonderful while
it
you're doing that.
It is a chick magnet. Nancy's Nuts afternoon is real big.
I don't think anybody should take her word for it.
Now, what time is that?
They're already done this year. But the beauty of it is, while you're doing this, you watch the Judy Garland Christmas special while you're making the holiday nuts. You open a bottle of champagne, pop a couple amphetamines.
That would be if
the counseling,
you were Judy.
People are here. The counseling center people are here. If you do that, they're ready to help you. Look, you're just not saying a word. You're sitting on your hands.
We do not
the three of them like Larry Curly and Moe sitting over here.
My favorite coping.
It's a freaking joke.
We know it's a joke.
By the time the tape is done, by the time Judy has bounced off the wall, do you know that Liza is doing exactly what her mama Judy did?
I know.
She fell off the stage in Sweden. Yeah. This time of year, Judy Garland always ran into the wall of her set. It's a family tradition. Who is she to break it?
Yeah.
By the time the tape is over, your nuts will be toasted.
And we're leaving this to Nancy to talk about the toasty nuts and not some other members of the crew here tonight. So we're giving...
Eggs, nuts, what else do you want to know?
Who knew that on Queer Voices we would have holiday recipes? I had some delicious cookies someone made. Oh, they were so good.
Some people make cookies, some people pack fudge, some people make nuts.
Oh,
you know, it's just...
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
What? And what other holiday traditions?
That's about it.
That's it? Just the nuts?
That's about
it. It's all about food. That's just Christmas is food.
Apparently, you have a real theme with that.
I do.
Yeah.
Turkey meatballs.
Yeah, and the theme is vodka, vodka, and vodka.
Is better.
I like the leftover turkey sandwich that you make with the dressing and the cranberry sauce. That is good.
There's your Whopper right there.
Yeah, there's your Whopper. That tryptophan and get that a big glass of milk and you'll sleep all afternoon.
I'm missing Monday Night Football to talk about.
Chicago Bears.
I know.
See, I have a missing lesbian gene apparently because I don't care about football. I don't care about that stuff.
See, I have a theory, too, that, you know, everyone, all gay people have gay genes, but not all gay people have all gay genes.
Thank you.
That may be yours. Like, yeah. I cannot decorate for anything.
Yeah. Some people have gay designer genes.
Yes. There you go.
And that would be true. So, what are some things some of the rest of you would like in your holiday stocking besides Nancy's nuts that I'm holding up to display?
Then try to get them out.
I want a plasma flat screen HD TV.
Uh-huh.
That's what I would like.
What size?
54-inch. David, you know which one I'm talking
size
about.
Queen.
I'm sure you mean Santa.
Well, David equals Santa in my world, so. Hi, Davey.
Yeah. Some people precious. Want Santa in their stocking. The Bears, you know, would that'd be. And other Brian with an I.
I guess I'd just settle for something simple, just a chance to be with some family and friends, you know. That's going to be my Christmas this year.
You know?
Who are you trying to impress with your sensitivity?
I think he's practicing for like Mr. Gay America or something.
And world peace, of course.
And world peace, of course. Well, this is Pacifica, Radio for Peace.
I want a paying job with benefits. That's what I want. Glenn, Is Glenn out there?
He's not listening to us.
He walked away.
He's doing his own thing.
What were you saying?
We were asking what did people want in their holiday stocking.
Oh, well, you want to know what I want in my stocking?
Yeah, what do you want? Go ahead.
Actually,
6 foot.
Actually, I hadn't even thought fudge. Yeah, okay.
A foot.
Oh, you want a foot in my stocking?
A foot in your stocking.
Well, I tell you, you ask a question, you get an answer.
Actually, let me tell you what I used to get in my stocking when I was a little kid. Now, well, you know, my Canadian grandmother used to. You don't get nothing but coal in your stocking. But no,
did she talk that way?
Yeah, Glenn? That's exactly the way she talked. No, in my stocking, my mother had some really neat ideas, and some of them, talking about traditions, some of them I still do. She would get these, at the store, you can get the Laughing Cow cheese wedges, you know, that come in the little round cardboard package. I would get that in my Christmas stocking, because you could only get it at Christmas, when I was growing up. Well, now you can get it all year round, but I still buy those things, because I still like them, and it reminds me of, you know, being a kid at Christmas time.
Yeah. As we munch on Nancy's nuts in here.
I'm going to kill your mic over there if you're going to whisper to each other like that.
We have a big tradition, unfortunately, my mom's health is not good. But somebody in the family, by golly, has to make the fruitcakes. And
you know, I like Christmas fruitcake. There's many people who say they don't.
The way my mom makes it, and it's that the Texas pecans, because you have to have a higher quality of and quantity of pecans in the fruitcake makes the fruitcake much better. But I don't care for raisins in things. My mother always makes a fruitcake that doesn't have raisins in it, just for me. And I just always thought that was just the sweetest thing.
So no raisins in your rice pudding then either?
Well, no.
What about oatmeal raisin cookies?
I will sometimes. Raisin, you know, bread. I will sometimes do that. But it's just not my favorite thing.
As bad as fruitcake can be, though, my motto is, sure tastes better than coal.
Yeah. Scooter's chiming in there.
Scooter has the show that follows ours, so he came in early. So.
Yeah. So,
but, you know, people complain about fruitcake being dry, but you know what the solution to that is?
Rum.
That's right.
Here they go again, Sally.
You know, if you are finding that you keep turning to, you know, the booze for the holidays, once the holidays are over and you might need some help, you can call Montrose Counseling Center's Substance Abuse Program, and we can help you out.
But come to my house first to really have reason to need the Montrose.
Well, you're going to have something to drink with these spicy nuts. Now, do you put a touch of cayenne in here?
One can cayenne.
Because some people do that. You have to have a very delicate balance of that. But I never
don't knew mess with my nuts, Deborah.
I never knew
if
that
it ain't broke.
I never knew that trick with the egg whites, though. We always just buttered them. So
you dip anything in egg whites
it'll
first.
Stick, yeah.
Sugar
yeah
will stick to it.
Yeah. So that's the, you know, I'm anxious to go. I might have to put this on ThumbNet. I might have to share your recipe.
You know what I mean?
Are you going to start a franchise of Nancy's Nut Shots?
You're looking at my retirement right there, babies.
Nancy's
right there.
What would
Nancy's Nuts? Well, no kidding, but what's your product? Nancy's Nuts. I know, but what are you selling? Nancy's Nuts. Do you think we should commit her?
I know. That's just the comedy routine. Man.
I know.
Speaking of Montrose Counseling Center. No, I'm just... always circles back.
It always comes back.
Actually, if anybody wants to know about Nancy's Nuts and is actually interested in franchise possibilities,
call now that number 1-800.
No, you can
Nancy's Nuts.
You can email me at the Dyke Show TX Texas, the Dyke Show TX at AOL.com. And I'll be glad to share whatever I can with you.
Whoa, that's an invitation.
I'm not being dirty. You'd make everything dirty.
What? I just said that was an invitation.
What is this, after hours? What is this?
What kind of show is this anyway?
Shout out to Jimmy Carper.
Yes, our dear Jimmy Carper. Hey, Jimmy's got a birthday coming up in January.
That old queen.
And Jack Belinsky has a birthday coming up.
Where are they tonight? Where is Jack tonight?
He just made up a story and said he didn't feel good or something.
He's out there listening.
Yeah, he's testing
it's
us.
It's me. I think it's me.
Yeah.
No, because I brought stuff for him, and of course, when that happens.
No nuts for Jack.
That's right. Or Jennifer, or JD.
Any of them.
But by the miracle of technology, JD will be with us. Coming up in This Way Out, because he was interviewed by the people with Fresh Fruit Radio in Minneapolis, and they're going to talk about his, I think he's starting his 8th year of doing Queer Music Heritage, and he's going to be having his 100th show. So
that's actually fabulous. That will be coming up next, but because of the way that we started out a little bit off the program with the program.
a little bit off this group?
Mm-hmm, yeah. You actually have 10 more minutes, so, you know, keep...
Well, that's great, because, you know, one of the reasons we have Nancy down here today is we have an article in this month's Outsmart about Share the Wealth. Great gift ideas.
Uh-huh. Another segue, and Nancy's going, gosh, I wrote that a month and a half ago.
You sure that was me?
Yeah, what can I tell you? What do you need to know?
Well, what are some great ideas?
You know, if Brian can't get his plasma TV, and if I can't get world peace, you know, what can we get for each other at the holiday?
We don't.
I'm so glad you asked.
Not that we want to do any blatant advertising, because that would be wrong.
No,
well, actually, you know, I do have a gift idea, but I can't tell you what it is, because I'm afraid that the person that I'm going to give it to is probably listening to the show.
Well, there was 15 seconds of our time. Every year at Outsmart Magazine, and thank you for being so kind to plug us on.
They're crunchy nuts on there. Yum, yum, yum.
Thank you very much for recognizing Outsmart Magazine as often as you do here at the program. We really appreciate that. We're starting our 15th year of publishing in this coming year, so we're really excited about everything that's going to be coming up with that. But every year, these maybe not all 15, but nearly every year, we do an article called Share the Wealth, and that's exactly what it is. It's a recommendation of different organizations and charitable groups that you can not just, you know, blow your money at Walgreens on a last-minute gift and you're going to a party or something.
Although that is a good idea if you need a last-minute gift.
I will absolutely.
Walgreens
or CVS.
And the Ripcord.
And the Ripcord.
The Ripcord is open Christmas Eve.
The toy store at the Ripcord.
Half-price books and bookstop. They're open until 11 o'clock at night. So if you find it the last minute that you didn't get something for someone, if you need a jar of nuts.
Yeah. Put your order in now.
You know, one thing that I have done in other years with gift giving is I think of a theme, and I think the first year I did this, it was either rabbits or stuffed animals. But everybody that I gave a gift to is either like a stuffed animal, or the next year it was rabbits, or it was whatever. So, you know, if you want to come up with a theme like ashtrays, you know, and then give everybody an ashtray.
Because no one's smoking anymore. Yeah, exactly. That's such a thoughtful gift. And nor should they be. Okay, Nancy. Take it away.
One of my favorite focuses in the article this month was SPRY, which is the seniors preparing for rainbow years.
Bravo.
How's that? Again, bringing it back to Montrose Counseling Center.
It's a program of the Montrose Counseling Center.
You're talking about Deborah's age again.
And it's, well, you know, y'all can certainly explain what it is far better than I can. But as I grow older, I'm certainly more attentive to what this program is. Take it away.
Well, Seniors Preparing for Rainbow Years primarily is trying to deal with the isolation that so many of our GLBT seniors are facing. And one of the most successful parts of this program is the peer groups. They're not counseling or support groups necessarily. They're just peer groups where people can come in. We have some that are dedicated men only, some that are women only. Then there's a mixed group that meets, and a lot of that information is at our website. But, you know, all too often when we age, we find that we have to go back into the closet in order to get help. When you feel like you can't be open and honest about your relationships, if you need to go into residential housing or something like that. You know, and through this program, we help people learn about their different options, but we also educate a lot of those service providers about how to deal with members of the GLBT community. And we have case management that can help people if they need help filing for disability or Social Security, or if they need help with getting utility assistance or things like that that a lot of seniors are going through, you know, if they didn't have heat last night.
And they start at age 62, which is, since that's not very far away for me, it's like, wait a minute.
Well, the our SPRI program starts at 60, age 60 and above.
Oh, 60. I thought it started at age 62.
So, but I mean, and I appreciate...
All I know is I'm eligible for that senior discount, by golly.
And I know that we keep bringing things back to Montrose Counseling Center, and that really wasn't necessarily what we were going to do, but one of the things...
No, that was not a plan.
No.
Strangely enough.
I know. I just want to say how grateful I am, because I think one of the things that we struggle with all the time is trying to reduce the stigma that is associated with mental health care, or just, you know, getting through those rough patches. And there's a stigma associated with being gay, or there's a stigma associated with being HIV positive. And I think that the more that we talk about these things, or substance abuse or something like that, the more we talk about these things, the less people will feel ashamed for needing help. And so I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, that is so important.
And the way that comes back to our Share the Wealth article is everybody needs cash. All these programs need financial assistance. And I know that the Montrose Counseling Center will be more than happy to accept your donation. Just write your check to the Montrose Counseling Center with the notation in the notation area for SPRI. And consider it an investment in your future, perhaps, you know, if you don't want to be totally altruistic.
Now, I know the Counseling Center used to do like a toy... for families that are affected by HIV, is that something you're still doing?
We do, for some of our case management clients, the neediest of our case management clients, we put together holiday baskets. And one of the things, we put together a turkey, all of the trimmings. Francis Bueno is the one that spearheads this every year in the case management department. And it costs about $25 a box, and so we're always looking for donations for that. But, you know, they get their vegetables, they get fruit, they get pie, they get turkey. And for the ones that have children, there will be toys. We got a great donation this year from Eric Liston, who gave us some of the greeting cards that he had collected from the charities he belonged to this year. And so we can pass those along to some of these neediest clients, because we forget sometimes how important it is for us to be able to share our, you know, holiday spirit. Just to be able to give somebody a card. Not everybody can afford that. You know, that's a luxury item for some. And so we're putting together holiday baskets for our neediest clients this year. And, you know, for those that have children, we'll have gifts for them as well.
And a sister's puts together a gift bag for each of their clients. Especially there are people that are isolated somewhat because of their illness or their disability. And, Nancy ate a nut too many and is now choking to death. Someone Heimlich maneuver her. They're so darn good. Thank goodness she only brought a small jar. We'd all become instantly addicted. Are you going to start a program at the counseling center for those that are addicted to
Nancy's nuts?
It's like, I can't reach the jar. It's way over there.
She put it right in the middle of the table,
too. I know, she's mean.
But one of the other things, talk about generosity in the holiday season. I think it was the Four Seasons Club that just put together, no, it was the Prime Timers, I beg your pardon, Prime Timers. They just collected a number of gift cards. So there's, you know, like $600 worth of gift cards that they collected. And that's for the SPRI program. So they've, instead of giving actual cash, they bought gift cards to Kroger, to Target, to, you know, a lot of Walgreens, those kind of places. And we can turn around and then give those to our clients so that they can help make ends meet if they need to get groceries or if they need to
get... Can I lie about my age and go ahead and join? I got 2 years to go.
You can sign up now for the program, and we'll contact you in 2 years. We have a lengthy need.
Because since I don't have that paid job with benefits, then it would be good.
Well, and one of the great things about the SPRI program is there are no out-of-pocket costs to participate. So.
Yeah, that is very important. And that is something that keeps people away from counseling or from seeking help, is because they fear the cost factor.
Yeah,
they just don't have the funding.
And so, the SPRI program is funded through the end of next year from a federal grant that we received. Now, once that grant expires and we identify which parts of the program are working, because we're constantly evaluating,
By the time I'm eligible, the grants run out.
So, that's our goal, is to be able to maintain this program. And so, but when anybody comes to Montrose Counseling Center, regardless of whether it's for the SPRI program or because they're going through relationship troubles, or they were just, diagnosed with HIV, or, maybe they're in a domestic partner, domestic abuse situation, we'll do a needs assessment and determine your ability to pay. There are some of our programs that are completely funded by grants, and some of them that the grants can support. And so we'll find out, what is your income level, what are your needs, and we'll do, a sliding scale. So we don't, we do try to make it as affordable as possible.
And maybe we should say, Sally Huffer, what is your title there at the Montrose Counseling Center?
Oh, Community Projects Specialist. So I talk about all of the programs all the time, and you can never, ever, ever, ever get me to shut up.
She's the resident diva.
Yeah.
No, I don't know about that, but I am willing to go and talk. We're going to talk to EPA coming up here in January, the Executive and Professional Association of Houston, talk about SPRI and some of the other programs, because this coming year is Montrose Counseling Center's 30th anniversary.
Can you believe it?
And you have that wonderful building campaign going on.
Brand new building campaign. A lot of people came out for our celebration of Dalton DeHart, which was amazing. I just couldn't believe how many. I never even thought that we would have spillover out of the parking lot. But
wow.
So many people came to celebrate Dalton, and we collected, probably about $10,000.
Fantastic.
Which is a good start.
A really good start.
Dalton is the glue that holds the community together. I mean, he's everywhere, and he knows everybody.
Yeah, well, and we share a vision of being inclusive of the community, and we think that his pictures reflect the community, and in many cases, for so many people. If you can see yourself being depicted in those pictures, whether you're a drag queen, whether you're a community leader, whether you're, just a wallflower, whether you're a bear, whether you're, from into leather.
I heard there was
everybody.
A list of community leaders that went out, and somebody was really surprised that my name wasn't on it. And I was kind of surprised to learn my name wasn't on it, too.
I'm sure that was just an oversight on my part, and I do apologize.
I was like, what?
And those pictures, looking at all the people when they were so young, I was like, wow.
I know, that is a hoot, to go back and it's the typical thing. It's like looking at your high school yearbook.
Well, and when we're talking about those photos and about Dalton DeHart, we do need to mention the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of GLBT History, because they're the ones, Dalton has donated all of his photographs and all of the albums.
Something like 65,000?
That's
amazing.
The tip of the iceberg.
300,000 digital copy of pictures I've heard.
So GCAM generously,
and half of those are me. No.
But GCAM let us use the photo albums for that evening, and I can't tell you how many people really didn't know that all of this had been chronicled over the years, and that there is a place that keeps all this information for us. And so once the first floor gets built out at the counseling center, that space is going to be dedicated to the community. We've already got a commitment from the community center for moving in. There's going to be 12-step groups. There's a community space, community rooms. There's going to be places where different groups can meet and that sort of thing. We're hoping to do a little bit more with the seniors, maybe with some of the Hatch Youth, where it's a drop-in center.
And will GCAM be able to have
space there? I don't know if they're going to have a space there, but there will be space dedicated for
exhibits,
and so they can rotate. And we've made some initial talks with Judy and Jimmy, and so we're looking forward to that. So you know, and that might be something that GCAM can do with this new community space. We're hoping to have it built out about May of next year. And then, you know, if they want to have something where, you know, they do, you know, Halloween magic tonight or, you know, Montrose Softball League next week. And so all of the people associated with Crew of Olympus or, you know,
Jungle Houston.
Brian pitches his own.
Well, and why not?
Well, certainly.
And
because
so,
we're nothing if not a community of organizations, of people who choose to be community and who are activists and volunteers.
Exactly.
It's so wonderful. Houston has so many different community organizations and people that, that step up and contribute.
And
it's one of the favorite things I love about Houston.
Yeah, it's great. It's well, Jack and I often talk about how we used to sit here and kind of go, well, what's the topic, eh? And there might be like one thing that was going to be happening the whole month, you know, that we could talk about and focus on. And now there's like something.
Oh, my goodness. Just talk to Dalton, and he has like eight events per night. And
I have a theory that there are clones of Dalton. If anyone can confirm this. He's in multiple places at the same time, so I wonder.
I'm pretty sure.
The welcome back, Nancy.
Thank you. I'm fine. I've had this bug that's been going around, and it just seized up on me. It was not Nancy's nuts. Nancy's nuts go down smooth.
Yes. Oh. And we noticed how you put the nuts right in the middle of the table so that that's they were right. Just out of reach of each of us while you were gone.
Nancy's nuts have made us nuts.
We're nuts.
Just trying to get Nancy's nuts.
Yeah, they're we're so nuts about Nancy's nuts.
They're so nutty. There's my catchphrase.
There you go.
She thoughtfully put them in a small jar. How many ounces you think that is? Do you know?
That's so they'll fit in my pocket when I leave.
I would say 8 to 10 ounces.
All my nut jars are recycled.
Well,
that's a mustard jar.
They need to be in a small jar because you're
so environmentally friendly.
You become instantly addicted to them. And so if you had a gallon size, you would eat a gallon size.
Yes.
So she's thoughtfully provided these little marmalade jars or whatever.
More at thedykeshowtx@aol.com.
Nancy's nuts.
No one can eat just one.
No, you can't.
Taken.
So that line's been taken, but just the same.
You got to have at least two.
And then you're like, well, maybe just one more.
And I'm just like, let me just check them all down. I'd be good with that.
Well, Nancy, did you answer what you wanted in your Christmas stocking this year?
She's making a face.
Of course she is.
She's like,
I'm thinking I need a
peace.
Ventilator after my coughing burst there. You know, okay, if I may get a little schmaltzy.
Certainly you may.
I'll schmaltz on. There isn't a darn thing I want this year. There really isn't.
Now she's trying to top Brian there.
I'm sorry, I was coughing, so I didn't hear what Brian had to
say.
Well,
he just said he just wanted to have time with family and friends.
Well, I did that over Thanksgiving, so my time's already filled in on that.
Been there, done that.
Okay, making the dike full circle. I hope the Texans make the playoffs.
I think they were mathematically eliminated yesterday.
They were?
I never get anything I want for Christmas.
We have a better chance at world peace.
And world peace.
The football knowledge in here is amazing. I had no idea. They played yesterday? What?
No, they played on Thursday. But there were other teams that if they won or lost yesterday made the difference.
I
could be wrong.
When I was at a Creating Change conference that the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force puts on, and that was when Magic Johnson's the announcement that he was HIV positive came out, and there were all these people going around going, "Who's Magic Johnson?" But lesbians knew.
Love our lesbians.
Yeah. But I'm just not. I don't have the lesbian sports gene.
The lesbian gene. You don't have that.
I get in touch with my inner gay male. I'm. You know, more along those lines. I like this this hairstyle you got going. It's a
great idea to talk about a physicality on radio.
Yeah.
Well
it's not
if you can
so
only just
curly.
See it.
If anyone saw America's Next Top Model, the current season, Salisha, who won, has a very similar hairstyle.
Yeah, so she really.
Yeah, so if our listeners had watched that show,
she took it from Nancy, no doubt.
I didn't even know.
Being that you're such a trendsetter in everything.
Yeah, I'm the trendsetter of the community.
She must have picked it up when she got some of Nancy's nuts.
That's contagious. Thank you. I'm glad you like my hair this way. And,
yeah. I'm getting the 2-minute warning here from Glenn. Yeah, because coming up, we will have This Way Out. Well, before we close off, and like we said, we had not planned this whole thing about the Montrose Counseling Center, and because Nancy's presence, and because she is nutty and brought her nuts and shared them with us, we all just spent the evening just being silly and having a good time, and that is what it's all about, isn't it?
Were we being just a little bit nutty tonight?
Tiny wee.
Y'all were being a bit quiet.
God bless us, everyone.
Oh, you're so cute.
I know.
So I was thinking,
it's my hair.
You know, when she said, you know, all of our presents, and I thought, what a gift. What a gift.
Oh, gosh.
See, I'm already getting my world peace.
Oh, there you go.
I just want electronics.
I feel the love.
Should we hold hands and sway?
And sing Kumbaya?
No, nobody wants me to sing. That's my Christmas gift to everyone.
Yeah, you and me both. We will not sing, we promise. Nancy, however, has a lovely singing voice.
Why, thank you, Deborah. I can't sing without falling off the stage. It is the holidays, after all.
Well, there you go. So, Brian... You want to say Brian with an...
This is Brian with an I.
And...
Well, this is Sally Huffer from Montrose Counseling Center.
And this is Brian with a Y, Brian Levinka.
And...
This is Nancy Ford with Outsmart Magazine and Nancy's Nuts.
And this is Deborah Bell thanking you for listening to us on Queer Voices. Coming up next, This Way Out.
We're serving up a Rainbow Minute sandwich this week with a Queer Music Mavens collection between two slices of operatic bread.
Pulitzer Prize winner Samuel Barber strikes a chord, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. Samuel Barber will long be remembered for his enduring contribution to cultural life. He was born in Pennsylvania in 1910 to a musical family and began composing at age 7. At 14, he entered the prestigious Curtis Institute of Music, where he studied voice, piano, and composition. While there, he met the young Italian composer Carlos Menotti, with whom he formed a lifelong personal and professional relationship. They traveled throughout Europe together in the 1930s. In 1958, Barber received his first Pulitzer Prize for his opera Vanessa, in which Menotti wrote the libretto. In 1962, Barber's piano concerto garnered him his second Pulitzer Prize. He will long be remembered for his intensely lyrical Adagio for Strings, which has become one of the most recognizable classical compositions in history. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Dustin Richardson.
It's that time of year again when many of you in the U.S. consider ways to maximize your annual charitable tax deductions. Unlike many other worthwhile causes, we can't survive without your help. Log on to thiswayout.org to get some unique musical, cultural, and historical programming from the This Way Out archives and further reduce your U.S. tax liability. Better us than the government of George W. Bush, right? No matter where you are in the world, we can't go on without you. Log on to thiswayout.org to help keep this program on the air. From the This Way Out family to you and yours, thank you, and happy holidays.
He's never cut a record, but he's made his mark in the queer music world by collecting and sharing the work of history-making LGBT artists. J.D. Doyle hosts KPFT Houston's Queer Music Heritage, created the website of the same name, and of course co-hosts This Way Out's own audiophile series. To celebrate J.D.'s 8th anniversary Queer Music Heritage and 100th broadcast coming up in January, This Way Out correspondent Dixie Treichel chats with J.D. about his collection and samples some of it.
Bobby Wayne's friends from birth playing out in the woods. Bobby Wayne looked at me right in the eyes. My took a smile and said, gonna do what
somehow I knew just what he meant, 'cause we were out in the country.
Doug Stevens, one of my favorite country artists, pretty much got gay country music started in 93. Now, there was one earlier openly gay album in 73 by Patrick Haggerty called Lavender Country, but then there was a gap of 20 years before anybody else really picked up that mantle, and he did a great job with it.
Went out last night with a crowd of my friends. There must have been women, 'cause I don't like no men. It's true, I wear color and a tie, make the wind blow all the while. But to say I do it, ain't nobody caught me. They sure got to prove it on me.
Ma Rainey, my favorite blues song, the Prove It On Me Blues. Went to a party with a gang of my friends. They must have been women, 'cause I don't like no man. I just love that line. Tom Robinson, one of the icons of queer music. I had the pleasure of interviewing him a couple of years ago. What an experience. Sitting in a hotel room for an hour with him doing the interview. He even sang a song at the end. He sang, "Glad to be gay, just for me," and he added a verse that had never been recorded about Matthew Shepard. And you can hear that on my site.
Tell us how you became interested in queer music heritage and began collecting that music.
I've been a music collector pretty much all my life, and I wasn't collecting queer music all that time. I was collecting, in the 70s, just general rock and roll and rhythm and blues and whatever, mostly the stuff you heard on the radio and some more historical stuff. During the 80s, I became a fanatic collector of girl group music of the 60s, and I had an extensive collection of that. During all these phases of collecting, I would gather queer records now and then, and I always kept those. Even if I sold the other collections, I always kept the queer music. I was really interested in it, and I started, amassing more and more, and I got involved with some of the internet resources that were coming along at that time. I got involved with the Glamma Awards. I became a judge for that even before I had a radio show, and started connecting with people online and artists. I wanted to get the music online because I wanted to share it. I've always thought the music history is a visual as well as an audio experience, and people really need to see those old album covers or cassette covers or photos of the artists, because this information is not on the net. It's just not there. So I kind of took it as my project.
Your website is fabulous, and that's why I want people to know about that. You do have those visuals. You're trying to educate people as well as entertain.
Yeah, I kind of joke that I sneak information down their throats while they're being entertained. It is an education, because it's not just nice music. The music and the interviews, these are people telling their stories, and they happen to be gay, lesbian, bi, and trans stories. They're reflecting not only their personal journeys with their orientation, but the journeys of a period in time. Artists talking about dealing with coming out in the 70s, that's a different story than the 80s, the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all history that is important.
You've got some things by Camp Records.
Yeah, I encourage people to go to that section of the site, because you can hear all the music from this label. This was a label from the 60s of what we would call novelty records now. And they were done with very campy, lispy, very stereotypical singing styles.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, I can imagine gay people being embarrassed by that music. Now, we don't look at it that way. It's just fun. It's camp. And again, it's a slice of that history. And these were recordings that were all pretty much anonymous. We don't know who was actually singing these records. They had pseudonames like B. Bubba, Bird E. Bass.
Yeah,
and the numbers on the 45s, they weren't really numbers. They were letters and numbers. They would say like, "I am one, are you two? I am gay, are you also?" So it was a fun little piece of culture. But what's exciting me lately is the transgendered artists that are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's marvelous. It's one of my favorite areas to cover. And this year I just got on a binge and I did four shows in a row. And it was just hearing those four different shows, all these different voices, different experiences from different time periods. Just wonderful.
We're going to go out with some more sound clips.
Romanowski and Phillips are two of my favorites. They're iconic to me. They're a duo, mostly active in the 80s and early 90s, and they were out politically in a wonderful way, which was just inspiring and just great, great music, very clever, very funny.
She was a big, tough woman, the first to come along, that showed me being female meant you still could be strong, and though graduation meant that we had to part, she'll always be a player on the ball.
Mae Christian, one of the main founders of the women's music movement. We're talking like 1974 for her first album. She was involved with Olivia Records, the wonderful label that spawned so many women artists. Mm-hmm. And I love women's music. Ending up with, this is kind of appropriate, Maxine Feldman was the creator of the first openly lesbian 45 in 1969, before Stonewall. It was called Angry Athens. There's a, quite a story from that. And she died this past year. People could hear a great interview she gave me from several years ago. That's another example of capturing these people online. That's capturing our history. The song by Maxine I selected was one called Come Out of the Closet, which I got to hear her do live at the 1979 March.
Come out of the closet and love me. Come out of the closet, be free. Come out of the closet. I know it's a dark and man. So come out, oh, with a scream and shout and see everybody everywhere.
Thanks so much for putting all this heritage together for us and educating not only the GLBT community, but everyone else who would be listening.
It's my passion.
J.D. Doyle's website can be found at www.queermusicheritage.com. He was interviewed by Dixie Trichel. And next time on This Way Out...
...2007 brought us an astonishing variety of LGBT musicians and musical styles. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
And I'm Chris Wilson. Join us as we present some of our favorites on our special 2007 Audiophile Year in Review, the week of December 24th, here on This Way Out.
Giancarlo Minotti, Italian child prodigy, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. Giancarlo Minotti, one of the premier classical composers of our time, was born in Italy in 1911. He composed his first opera at the tender age of 11. After his father's death, he moved to America and attended the Curtis Institute of Music in Philadelphia. There, he met fellow composer Samuel Barber, with whom he was partnered outside the closet for over 30 years. In the 40s and 50s, Minotti wrote four operas that appeared on Broadway, establishing his reputation as America's most popular opera composer. His 1951 Christmas operetta, Amahl and the Night Visitors, is his best-known work. In the 50s, Minotti received two Pulitzer Prizes. One of his most successful ventures was the Festival of Two Worlds in Spoleto, Italy, a cultural collaboration of America and Europe, embracing all the arts. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios of WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Tom Miller.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful. Shower you with gifts and trinkets and baubles and presents and trifles and whatnots and toys and such. I had a sense of levity and heightened generosity to make your Christmas morning full of joy and discovery. But 'tis the season for more than being gay. December snows came crashing down and drifts got in the way. And the weather outside is frightful, but the holiday is gonna happen anyway. I was gonna wine you and dine you and feast you on ham and turkey and stuffing and fruitcake and puddings and pastries and roasted nuts. I had some pies and Christmas cakes, a lemon tart my mama makes. A Christmas feast you'll never see was waiting there for you and me. But 'tis the season for snow and freezing rain. Go stepping out tonight and you would have to be insane, 'cause the weather outside is frightful, with kids so high they're blocking my door. Gonna happen anyway, so baby, I'll miss you. Yeah, baby, I'll miss you this Christmas. I was gonna shower you, shower you, shower you with body worship and kissing and licking and teasing and tickling and tender touch. I had such plans for you and me, for underneath the Christmas tree, like giddy up and ride you home and chowing on your Christmas bone. But 'tis the season for ice and bitter cold, preserving life and limb is worth more than your Christmas gold. And the weather outside is frightful, kids so high they're blocking my door. Never seen such a storm outside, but the holiday is gonna happen anyway. So baby, I'll miss you. Yeah, baby, I'll miss you this Christmas, 'cause I ain't going out in that no how, no way. Yeah, baby, I'll miss you this Christmas. The weather outside is frightful.
That seasonal, frightful weather comes from up-and-coming New York singer-songwriter Maury Campbell, who, according to the ubiquitous J.D. Doyle, is working on his debut CD. Thanks for tuning into This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Sherry Lund, Rick Watts, Rex Walkner with Bill Kelly, Dixie Treichel, Judd Proctor and Brian Burns with Dustin Richardson and Tom Miller, Tanya Kane Perry and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material, Doug Stevens and the Outband, Ma Rainey, the Tom Robinson Band, Romanofsky and Phillips, Meg Christian, Maxine Feldman, and Maury Campbell performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Listen online to This Way Out exclusively at outinamerica.com. You can also click on the link at the top of our website, thiswayout.org. Most This Way Out operating expenses are funded by donations from our listeners, and we thank you. Please read the Happy Holidays message at thiswayout.org to see how you can help keep this program on the air. Email us at tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Season's greetings, and thanks for listening on WOMR, Provincetown, Massachusetts, KVSC, St. Cloud, Minnesota, Fresh FM, Nelson Marlborough, New Zealand, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Do stay tuned.
This Way Out is heard every week as part of Queer Voices. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT.
Well, thanks for being with us this nutty night. And we want to thank the folks that were on with us. Donna Garrett, Shirley Bassey, and
Aja.
The lovely Aja. And we also had
Brian Levinka with a Y and Brian Erickson with an I.
And we talked with
Sally Hufford, the diva extraordinaire from the Montrose Counseling Center.
And
Nancy Ford.
The nutty diva extraordinaire.
Nancy in her nuts.
That's right. And so we hope that you're now thoroughly prepared for your holiday season. We will next week coming up, Glenn.
Yeah, next week on Queer Voices, it's December 24th, Christmas Eve. We have a special appearance by Joan Devlin. This Way Out, featuring Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum, bring us their 2007 Audiophile Year in Review. And on J.D. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage, it's What Else? Queer Christmas Music. And then the week following, on December 31st, it's our Rockin' New Year's Eve. So come join us here at the radio studios in Montrose during the show. Bring finger foods to share, and non-alcoholic beverages will be served. It's a year-end listener appreciation party. And we will also have Lily Roddy with an astrology forecast for 2008. And, of course, This Way Out. And Steve Pride will be reviewing 2007's big and small screen standouts in his Pride on Screen 2007 feature. You have been listening to Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 8 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston, with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Walensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, Jennifer Renee, Greg Chapman, and Jack Walensky. Be sure to listen every Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
Has just completed our final on-air membership drive for 2007. This drive, KPFT.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.